So just to clarify, pretty basic question, but important one, which is when you refer to rituximab or anti-CD20 therapy as immunotherapy, what do you envision actually happens in your own mind once, that antigen is attacked?
Yeah, sure. So what we think happens, and it's a great question, Neil, we're still learning 20-odd years later exactly how rituximab works, and it probably works a little bit differently in different types of cancers. So the kind of three main mechanisms of rituximab would be, binding to the cell surface and activating these downstream signaling cascades and leading to direct cell death. That's probably a minor effect of the way rituximab works, at least in follicular. It also activates complement, which I think probably is also not a major effect. But the main way, or the main mechanism that it kills cancer cells, is it binds to the cell surface, and then your immune system recognizes this antigen-antibody complex, and there is recruitment or activation of NK cells and T cells within the microenvironment, which then release lysozymes and effectively kill the malignant cell. And one of the difficulties with rituximab as a single agent is if you look at the response rate in patients, for example, with newly diagnosed disease, it's about 50% to 70%. And so although the proof of principle is there, it doesn't work in everybody, and it doesn't lead to cure. And so there are clearly some of these cells that have the target that are able to evade rituximab, evade this immune response. And so what we've been trying to do as a field and at Anderson over the last, again, 10, 15 years, is try to boost the effect of rituximab. And we had some early trials where we looked at combining rituximab with interferon, combining rituximab with leukine. And again, this whole idea was that we think we know what's happening in the microenvironment. Is there a way that we can either augment the antibody or augment the immune response to increase these responses we saw with rituximab?
Before you go on, as long as we're going to go through this whole mechanism thing, which I think is really awesome, can you talk a little bit about other anti-CD20 agents, particularly obinutuzumab? There is a suggestion that maybe it works better or it does work better, but what's the biology of it?
Yeah, so obinutuzumab, as you mentioned, it's another anti-CD20, and it binds to a slightly different epitope on the cell surface. So it also binds to CD20 like rituximab, but it's a slightly different site on the CD20. It also is what we call glycosylated, and this allows what we think to happen is it has this kind of flexible Fc elbow, and through glycosylation allows it to bind tighter to NK cells. So in essence, what it does, when it binds to a little bit different epitope, maybe it can overcome some of the resistance mechanisms of rituximab, but also recruits NK cells and T cells a little bit better than rituximab. And we've seen this in preclinical models. If you compare obinutuzumab and rituximab, obinutuzumab does have greater recruitment of these immune cells and can work in preclinical models that are rituximab resistant.